We like our seafood and we like our technology, and those two likes collided in the 20th century. Technology allowed fishing boats to catch vast numbers of fish, and they did. And the fish became a lot harder to find over time. Witness the collapse of the cod fishery in the North Atlantic. You can apparently still like seafood without guilt. A Portland company is built upon that understanding. Fish People is all about sustainable seafood and other practices friendly to fish and to people and to the planet. Duncan Berry is the co-founder of Fish People and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Duncan, welcome.
Happy to be with you, Jeffrey.
Tell us about the basic idea that got you started and what brought you and your co-founders into the business.
Well, it really started back in 1970 when I was a commercial fisherman out of the Columbia River. And I did that for 4 or 5 years, enough to realize that that was not my calling in the future. Went on to start a series of other companies and returned back in 2006 to the Oregon coast to live, and was involved in the marine reserves process. And that really put me back in touch with a lot of the fishermen that I'd been involved with back in the 70s. And the fishing industry had really had taken a turn, I think, for the worse, in the sense that there was a lot of depressed prices on the dock. There were a few companies that really controlled the industry. And so I jumped back in, looked at it for about a year, crisscrossed the state, and found that the world didn't need another seafood company, but it needed a different seafood company. And the fact that we were exporting 90% of the fish that we catch on our coast offshore just seemed like seemed crazy to us. So we decided we'd improve the value of our marine resources here and feed Americans with fish that we were catching off our own shores.
That's an amazing number, 90%?
Yeah, 90%. Well, here's the crazy math, Jeff. 90% of our fish is exported. 90% of the fish we eat is imported.
Oh, yeah, which raises the question, why?
So, just like a lot of things, the seafood industry is really a handcrafted industry. So labor looms large. When you sit down, if you catch a fish and you're going to fillet it, it takes you 20 minutes or half an hour. Well, so we've taken a lot of the fish that we catch here and we export them so they can be made into more valuable products. And that takes labor. So a lot of the flow of our seafood is going to China and other Asian ports. The other piece of this is we love shrimp, and we don't catch a lot of wild shrimp here, and a lot is grown in aquaculture conditions in Asia. So those are the two sort of species. That's the convergence of labor and also a particular foodstuff that we crave.
So shrimp being a little less labor intensive, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's just. Not a lot of it available in the wild, so millions upon billions of pounds are raised in Asia, sometimes under conditions that it's better we don't know much about.
Wouldn't
eat them.
All right, which gets back to the creation of Fish People, and so you said you were involved with the marine reserve system. Is that something that tended to put you at odds with people fishing in the commercial fisheries along the coast, or were they supportive of what you were doing?
Well, it was a mixed bag. California has 17% of its coastline is in marine reserves. We had less than 1% in Oregon. And so, yeah, I sat for 9 months at a table with commercial fishermen, many of whom I'd known. I sat with federal and state agencies, Indian tribes, NGOs. And, yeah, it was contentious. In fact, we had state police there the whole time, so that gives you an idea of how much people care on all sides. I didn't see myself at odds with any of them, really. To me, we're all after one thing, and that is for us to be able to have a relationship with the sea that's ongoing and long-term. And nobody should be excluded from that conversation. In the end, we were able to balance. This is sort of a microcosm for the whole fisheries industry, but we were able to arrive at a balance between economy and ecology. And we established a marine reserve at Cascade Head on the Central Oregon coast.
Duncan Berry is the co-founder of the company called Fish People in the Portland area. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, as we talk about sustainable seafood, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So a lot of conversations about the marine areas, and then how did that lead into what became Fish People?
So one of the things that was interesting to me was both this 90% rule. The other was that a lot of the fishermen that I knew had never met anybody that actually had eaten one of their fish. They called it the Great Wall, a lot of them, the distribution network that basically once they caught a fish and landed on shore, took that fish onto your plate, Jeff. And that was a black box for many of them. And so one of the hallmarks of the company we started, and we basically decided, you know, this is the world did not need another seafood company. It needed a different one. And so that one of those differences for us was to create 100% transparency.
I noticed and, that one of your mottos is we believe in relentless transparency.
Yes, indeed, which is a big promise, one that we live by every day. It would have been easier to not promise that. But one of the things that our consumer, we really believe there's a new seafood consumer out there, and it's one that is really, our industry is suffering from a lack of trust right now. You read it every day in the newspaper, you hear it on the radio and television. Oh, the fish isn't really what they said it was in my restaurant meal. Now there's a GMO salmon. A lot of this stuff comes from offshore, and I'm not sure they have safety regulations like we do here for food. And we said, you know, one thing that cuts across all that is just tell them everything, all the time.
So no Chilean sea bass in your repertoire?
No, sir.
And yeah,
we catch all our fish in what we call the cold water bioregion. So Northern California to essentially Barrow, Alaska.
And so did you contract with people who are already out there fishing? Did you send your own boats out? Give us an idea of the structure of what you're doing.
You bet. So we have relationships with a lot of small independent fishermen all up and down the coast, much like what my family's vessel was. One vessel can actually produce an amazing amount of protein from the sea. And so we have a partnership for a dock at the mouth of the Columbia River. We contract annually with a range of fishermen. Most of our salmon come from Alaska. Some of our larger crabs, such as snow crab, comes from there. The balance of it all comes from Oregon, Washington, Northern California, and that's we have a specialty in albacore tuna, which we love passionately. It's an extraordinary fish that comes 8,000 miles across the Pacific every year, swims 50 miles an hour, is warm-blooded, and is the lowest tuna in mercury on the planet. So it's, we contract with boats that they fish strictly for us, and when they hit the shore, we take it from there.
I noticed the video on your website about going after the albacore tuna with some fun shots of your guys fishing, dancing on the docks, and things like that.
Yes, doing the chovy. Yeah, that's we're all superstitious as fishermen, and that's what they do when it gets slow and there's no fish. They dance the chovy, and bam, tuna show up.
Is that an anchovy? Is that where chovy comes from?
Exactly. Yeah, it's something that we use for bait, and superstition runs long in the fishing community.
We're talking to Duncan Berry, the co-founder of Fish People, based in the Portland area. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about sustainable seafood. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So did this end up putting you at odds with larger seafood companies? You mentioned that a lot of what was coming off the boats on the West Coast were going to just a couple of seafood companies or one major one. And did you have to fight some of the business away from them?
Well, you know, we're fond of the pun, lift all boats. One of the things we'd like to do is inspire companies that may not be as sustainably focused as ourselves or as transparent as ourselves by capturing customers at retail. And we've grown to almost 6,000 points of distribution in a little over 2 years. And so that says that with retailers, our message is resonating and that our industry really needs to lurch its way into the 21st century. So if we're taking business away, I think the good news about that is that hopefully it will encourage others to practice sustainability and transparency as well.
Well, is that the lurch of the 21st century that you mentioned, practicing sustainability?
That's one of them. I think that there's a real wide range of we believe it's sort of like you get services. You don't just get a meal, right? We have sort of a valet service that comes with each meal from us. And one of those is sustainability, essentially just very simple. And it's an overused word, so we really actually prefer transparency. But just looking at, I just had a granddaughter, and the United Nations came out and said there's a possibility that my granddaughter in 2048 won't be eating saltwater seafood anymore. And I think, you know what, if I've got any tools in my tool belt, I'm going to do something about that. So sustainability is key. Transparency, we've already talked about. It's something that it used to be, you know, for sort of Portland East Siders, you know, the hipper consumer. Now we find it running deep everywhere in the country, the Midwest, Southeast. Everyone wants to connect with their food because they're putting it in their bodies. It's a very intimate experience. So those are two hallmarks. I think the other one is just let's keep it here. You know, let's bring it home. The coastal communities, both in California, Oregon, Washington, are largely they're disadvantaged financially. They're poverty zones, and so if we can improve the value of, for instance, that tuna we were talking about, Jeff, we can take that. It's worth five times more in one of our ready-to-eat meals here than it is in a freezer container going over to China.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about, too, the way in which your products are presented, because you're not talking about providing large slabs of albacore for the seafood cold shelf so much as you're making pouches of stuff that bear the Fish People brand, correct?
Yeah, so we have two product ranges. One is, and we started with the one that you just referred to, and they're in pouches, so that's a lurch into the 21st century right there, not a can. And so we make bisques and chowders, razor clam and bacon chowder, smoked oyster chowder. We use Dungeness crab, a real variety in those soups, and you just put them in boiling water in the container, and you know, a minute and a half later, you're eating a really amazing restaurant quality meal. Then we also make what we call meal starters, and it's just fish in sauces like Thai lemongrass albacore, and you put it over rice or pasta, sort of a DIY dinner. But we also have another range, which is newer, and that is we individually vac pack fillets of five different species, both with marinades and without, and those come in the frozen section.
Okay, so vacuum pack fillets for sure part of the mix here. The packaging, particularly on the pouch stuff, is very slick, which might lead some people to think it's processed food. Was there much internal debate on how to present your stuff to the public?
Oh, boy, you just hit a nerve.
I figured.
Oh, yeah. So it's interesting. You know, if you're under 30, you don't blink at what we call a retort pouch. If you're over 30, maybe into your 40s, you tend to think something's in there that's not good for you, because how could you be eating room temperature seafood, right?
Right.
And so one of the things that we've just finished literally last week is working with a company around what they call cultural codes, which means how your packaging is a front line on this. And that is a big glossy photograph signals to them that we might be a Unilever,
uh-huh,
not the small sort of handcrafted company that we really are.
Not scruffy.
So we're in the process. When you say slick, I would go, oh no, because we really aren't slick as a company, and yet we've sent some confusing codes to our customers. So we're in the process of relooking at our packaging.
All right. So how do you manage to maintain enough value along the way to make sure that the people who are catching the fish get paid well enough to keep doing this another day? Certainly that the fish keep showing up, and that you don't make it so expensive at the end that the folks at the grocery store are going, you know, that stuff looks good, but I just can't afford it.
Yeah. So great question. $4.99 for a really great seafood soup meal to us seems really amazingly affordable, especially when you get all these benefits that we're talking about. So one of the ways that we do that, and I think it's at the heart of this export question we were talking about earlier, Jeff, and that is if you add value to your seafood, i.e. we make it into a luscious soup, then we can afford to pay living wage jobs. For instance, your earlier question about our facilities, we have a facility in Toledo, Oregon, where we do a lot of processing, specialty processing of our albacore tuna. And we employ people that, you know, in the past have had to go to Alaska or other distant regions to make a living. We pay them living wage jobs. And that just rolls off the tongue, but the reason we can do that is we've used our intelligence as Oregonians to say, improve the value of our natural resources, and we can pay people more. If you're diving for the bottom and you're a commodity seafood company and you're shipping it overseas, you can't do that. And some of these people, Jeff, have never, ever been paid a living wage job in the history of their working careers. And so it's starting to make sense. We're starting to make the changes we set out to do.
Very quickly, because we're almost out of time here, we talked about albacore as being your prime catch. What's the stuff you don't go for because it's not sustainable?
Well, we could sit here for another 20 minutes. I could list them off. There's 130 species that are landed commercially on the West Coast. We concentrate on 12, uh-huh. And we believe for whatever reason those 12 are going to be around for a long time. And so we pull pressure off those other 120 species.
All right. Relentless Transparency, one of the bycatches of Portland-based fish people. Duncan Berry, the co-founder. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
True pleasure.
All right.
Thanks
take care.
For having me.